Why, hello there. Welcome to a new episode of the Liberators Network podcast. My name is Christian Verwijs, and today's episode is all about coherence and cohesion and why they are so central to the Scrum framework. This episode will feature a lot of scientific research, and we'll work hard together to make sure that we tie the science into the Scrum framework to help us understand why some things work the way they work, and also to identify situations where Scrum probably is not such a good fit. Now, don't worry, it won't all be scientific theoretical research. We're also going to give you a lot of practical tips on how to create cohesion and coherence in your team. So I hope that at the end of today's episode, you will leave inspired with many practical things you can do. Before jumping into the episode, I also want to mention that this episode, along with all the other ones in our podcast, are made possible by our patrons. These are people who support the show with a monthly donation, and they make it possible for us to record more episodes. They also support all the other content that we create, like our blog posts, like the meetups, the do-it-yourself workshops that we offer for free, but also the Scrum Team survey that we are developing. So go to patreon.com/liberators if you're interested in supporting us. We'll give you a lot of nice benefits in return for your support. Let's jump into the episode. Enjoy. Today's episode is called How Coherence and Cohesion Are Critical to Scrum. We're going on an exploration of scientific insights in coherence and cohesion, and I'll also give you 4 practical tips to encourage cohesion and coherence in your team. But let me begin with a question. Do your daily scrums feel like a pointless ritual where everyone just lists what they've done yesterday and what they will be doing today? Or does sprint planning feel like a waste of time because everyone only wants to know what they have to do and there's not really a conversation around what the team has to do? Or does your sprint review consist of team members only listing their individual accomplishments, but again there's no conversation around what the team has delivered? If any of these are the case, and especially if all of these are the case for your team, you are probably dealing with a complete lack of coherence and cohesion. In our work with Scrum teams, we've been part of teams that had it, that had cohesion and coherence. We've also been part of teams that didn't. Some of these teams developed it over time, and others never did. In the cases where it never did, we now realize that there wasn't even a team to begin with, and there was no compelling reason why there should be, so Scrum was basically doomed from the start. Today's episode is an exploration of scientific insights that help us understand what coherence and cohesion are, and why they are so important to Scrum teams, or basically to work teams more generally. We will also explore how these insights create a strong foundation for the Scrum framework, and we translate these scientific insights into practical applications that are ready for use with your team. What are cohesion and coherence? How does the Scrum Guide introduce cohesion and coherence? It defines Scrum teams as, quote, a cohesive unit of professionals focused on one objective at a time, the product goal, end quote. A bit further down, it defines sprint goals as something that, begin quote, creates coherence and focus, encouraging the Scrum team to work together rather than on separate initiatives, end quote. So in the Scrum Guide, cohesion is described as a characteristic of the group, whereas coherence is described as a characteristic of the work that this group does. Cohesion, or social cohesion, esprit de corps, or commitment as it's often been called, has been studied extensively by social psychologists. A group is considered cohesive when its members are attracted by the idea of the group. That's a definition that Hogg, an academic, ventured in 1992, and it's still being used today. That is, the members like the idea of being part of their group and they self-identify as members of it. We see cohesive groups everywhere in life, from sport fans who unite behind their team to religious communities. But also a group of friends or a family can be more or less cohesive. But we obviously also find cohesive groups in the workplace. Organizational psychologists found that motivation is much higher in cohesive groups. You can read more about this in a study by Beal and his colleagues from 2003. But they also tend to perform better, which is what Evans and Dion found in 2012. More cohesive teams are also better able to deal with stress and work pressure, which is something that Salas, Driscoll and Hughes have found in 1969. Wang and his colleagues in 2006 studied software teams that were tasked with ERP implementations. ERP is enterprise resource planning software. They found that cohesive teams performed significantly better than less cohesive teams. Now, high cohesion also comes with risks, such as groupthink and conformity to group opinions, which is what Macaulay argues in 1989. So, what makes some groups more cohesive than others? The first factor from research is to what degree people like being part of their group or are attracted to it. You may have seen this in your organization. Some teams in your organization may be well known and highly regarded. These teams have a strong identity, and many people want to be a part of it. The second factor is the sense of belonging that people feel and express as being part of their group. This is when people describe their other members as family or words with a similar meaning, like friends or something like that. The third factor is the degree to which emotions are shared in a group, and this happens when members of a group celebrate their successes together. But it's also apparent when members feel angry or being mistreated as a group by the rest of the organization. The fourth factor is coherence or coordination. This is when the members of a group actively coordinate their activities to achieve shared goals. This is when members check with each other about the next steps, when they ask for help from each other, and when they frequently communicate about their shared progress. In practice, I suppose we would call this teamwork. This also makes coherence the most relevant aspect of this episode. It is what distinguishes a regular group of people from what we call teams in the workplace. But not all groups in the workplace are actually teams, even when they are called as such. Teams require two characteristics to be met. The first is that they require high cohesion of the group, with all the characteristics that I just mentioned. But the second one is that they have to strive towards coherence in the work they do together. The first is a social characteristic of the group, and the second is a characteristic of their work. These insights from science illustrate nicely how the Scrum framework is grounded in learnings from social and organizational psychology, even though these foundations are not explicit. The Scrum Guide does talk about cohesion and coherence, though. And there's a lot of sense to how the Scrum framework defines teams and how it encourages them to become more cohesive and coherent, as we'll explore in more detail later in this episode. This recognition of the socio-dynamic processes in groups of people is also what attracts me to Scrum personally. It's also strangely absent in many other methodologies that are also applied to teamwork. Even though I love a methodology like Kanban, and I've seen it work really well, I do struggle a bit with the human-shaped hole that is at its center, because Kanban doesn't say anything about people, how they work together. It's about process, it's about flow, and that makes sense, but it's still about people doing work, ultimately. Many methodologies are so focused on process efficiency that they seem to ignore the human factors that are involved, and Scrum feels different to me there, and that's why I like it. So how does Scrum encourage coherence and cohesion? In the previous part, we explored how groups are teams when their members gladly self-identify with being part of their team, and when they actively coordinate their work to make it more coherent. One of the challenges that many Scrum teams face is that they lack one or both of these characteristics, at least at the start. Often, Scrum teams are defined simply by putting a group of random people together. Although those groups can become very cohesive and coherent, it does require attention and purposeful effort to make it happen. Otherwise, they will remain a set of individuals who work on their individual tasks and happen to be in the same room or in the same Slack channel if you're working in a distributed environment. But that's not a team, of course, and they will never become effective if things remain this way. Cohesion makes people want to be part of a team, and coherence allows them to work together towards a shared goal. Now, fortunately, the Scrum framework offers four tactics that are grounded in scientific research and that should help you in this area. The first tactic is the use of shared goals. This part is really emphasized in the Scrum Guide. Even though many Scrum teams still consider sprint goals and product goals as optional practices, they are in fact at the core of what makes teams more cohesive and their work more coherent. The value of collective goals has long been recognized in social psychology, and one of the foundational studies is by Sherif from 1945, who demonstrated how collective goals make groups more cohesive and can even reduce conflict. Specifically for agile teams, Whitworth and Biddle in 2007 found that commitment to team goals increases cohesion, team effectiveness, knowledge sharing, and feedback processes. In fact, in our own research with the Scrum Team Survey that we're doing together with the University of Aalborg, we're also seeing that the use of shared goals is a strong contributor to team success. The second tactic is frequent opportunities to communicate. The second tactic to encourage cohesion and coherence in the Scrum framework is by providing teams with frequent opportunities to communicate. This happens during the various Scrum events, but also outside of those events, of course. A simple social reality is that familiarity and physical proximity breeds cohesion. You can look at studies by Festinger, for example, from 1950, to read more about this. If members of a team meet frequently, they are more likely to bond than when they don't. So frequent interaction also creates many opportunities to find coherence in the work and to coordinate work in a team towards shared goals. The third tactic in the Scrum framework is the use of small teams. The Scrum framework really recommends to use small teams. Small groups tend to be more cohesive and coherent than large groups, when everyone's individual contribution is easily identifiable in the work that a team does. People are far more likely to commit themselves to shared work and feel satisfied by their contribution. You can read more about this in a study by Comer from 1959. Tactic 4, and the final one, is to do it again and again and again. As the previous tactics illustrate, cohesion and coherence develop over time as people work together. It's not usually there from the start. All teams start as groups of individuals, but many groups never become actual teams and never reach their full potential. Fortunately, the iterative nature of the Scrum framework also gives you many opportunities to encourage shared goals, frequent interaction, and redesign your team composition to make it smaller or more effective. So the repetition that is so inherent to the Scrum framework can help make your team more coherent and more cohesive. Don't use Scrum when coherence doesn't matter. Although many teams benefit from cohesion and coherence, there are situations where coherence isn't important at all. This is the case, for example, when the members of a group really don't need each other in order to successfully complete their own tasks. This is relevant for many support departments, where members are simply required to handle tickets individually. But I've also seen this with groups of marketing professionals, consultants, and mechanical engineers. Similarly, I've also experienced one software team where every member was contractually responsible for a different product. Without any feasible means to change the work design of that team, Scrum was just wasteful to the group, and understandably so. This underscores how you should never use Scrum as a means to an end. It is highly effective in situations where teams benefit from coherence, but it is simply overhead in cases where it isn't. Now, let me give you four tips to build more cohesive and coherent teams. This allows you to deal with situations where you're faced with a team that doesn't match the characteristics I mentioned in this episode. For example, when you observe behavior like this, where the members don't want to attend team events like sprint retrospectives or sprint planning because they feel it isn't relevant to them. Or when you notice that aside from the various Scrum events, there is very little to no interaction between team members during the sprint. Or when you notice that the team doesn't have a name or anything else to give it an identity, other than that people are sitting in the same general vicinity. Or when you notice that members talk exclusively about I and me, and rarely or never about we and us. In addition to the tactics that I already mentioned that are provided by the Scrum framework, I have found the following tactics to be very helpful. The first practical tip is to develop a strong team identity. A great way to create cohesive teams is by building a strong team identity together. Our social nature as human beings means that we are inclined to join groups that we identify with. This ties into the sense of belonging and attraction that we discussed before as factors of group cohesion. The simplest way to do this is by inviting teams to come up with a name, a slogan, and perhaps even a mascot of some kind. Even such simple things already create a basic identity for the team. You can also further strengthen the identity by referring to the team name, the slogan, and mascot in various Scrum events. One of the teams I worked with picked a name similar to Rubber Ducky, in Dutch at least, and then rewarded itself with Rubber Duckies after successful sprints. But I've also worked with another team that named itself Bugbusters, and they created a team poster with visuals that reinforced the team identity. Even though such creative activities may seem odd in a professional workplace, they create a strong foundation for team identity. And there's a nice post we wrote about this in the past that you can take a look at if you're looking for some inspiration on how to do this effectively. The second tip is to share positive emotions. Teams become more cohesive when they share positive emotions. Research with students, with children, and work groups shows that on average, begin quote, success breeds cohesion, but failure lowers morale, end quote, which is something that Brown and Pearson wrote in 2019. This explains why it is so helpful to celebrate your successes, small and large, with your Scrum team. One way to do this is to celebrate each release. For example, we like to create something called a release pie with teams. It's like a literal pie with, or a circle on a piece of paper that is drawn into a pie with different slices. Every time someone deploys to production during a sprint, one slice of the pie is filled with their name. When the pie is full, we celebrate together with a treat. The point here is not so much what you celebrate precisely. It could be a release, a satisfied customer, a collaboration on a nasty bug. It's important that you celebrate together and that you seek out opportunities to spread and share positive emotions. The third tip is to work together, but really. Where tips 1 and 2 are very helpful to create cohesion, they won't improve coherence necessarily. If you want to create more coherence, you need to create more deliberate coordination between team members towards some shared goal. The best advice here really is to invest deeply in the identification of sprint goals and product goals. Because we know how hard this can be, we created 3 do-it-yourself workshops to help you with this identification of shared goals, and you can find them in our webshop. The links for this are in the show notes. Each of these workshops is designed to help your team discover shared goals and to coordinate their work accordingly to achieve those goals. If all of that is still too hard, you can begin by encouraging members to pair up on tasks. By working on something together, people will start to see more opportunities to do so. At the same time, product owners play an important role here too. They can greatly encourage coherence by tying each sprint to a business objective, and by reiterating that business objective and purpose every time the team meets. The final tip is to set the example by doing all of the above, even when the team still feels awkward about it. So you can begin by adding a team name to calendar invites that you create for Scrum events. You can volunteer to pair up with others or invite others to pair with you. You can also bring treats to celebrate a recent success or at least call out successes that happen. And you can use sprint planning and the daily Scrum to encourage members to work together rather than apart. Let's move to some closing words. In this episode, we explored how many groups of individuals are not actually teams, even when we call them that on paper. Groups of individuals become actual teams when they are cohesive, and when their work is coherent. Cohesion is high when people want to be a part of the team and are proud of it, whereas coherence is high when members collaborate towards shared goals. Without coherence and cohesion, Scrum will feel awkward and wasteful, and sometimes it's a sign that Scrum just isn't a good fit for your group. Many of the tactics and practices in the Scrum framework, like the sprint and product goal and its recurring events, are designed to encourage cohesion and coherence. And that turns groups of individuals into high-performing teams. This focus on the socio-dynamic nature of teams is also what makes Scrum so great to me, and generally I think so effective at creating teams. We also offered 4 practical tips to encourage cohesion and coherence in your team. We offer many more do-it-yourself workshops in our webshop. You can download many of them for free, some cost you a few bucks. But you can go to shop.theliberators.com and in the menu bar on Scrum Teams you can click on Do-It-Yourself Workshops. You'll see many examples of workshops that we often do with teams, but things that you can just do yourself without needing an external facilitator. Most of them are about an hour, sometimes a bit more. You can also download all of these for free if you join us as a patron. If you are at least a contributor patron, you will gain access to all of them for free. And that brings me to the end of today's episode. I hope you learned something new about cohesion and coherence and why it is so central to Scrum. Unfortunately, we don't often talk about this in our community, and I think it's super important to recognize that this is what makes Scrum work well, but also in what cases Scrum won't work well because cohesion and coherence are not the goals. If you like this episode, please share it or rate it on the platform that you're listening on, or share it on LinkedIn or some platform so that others can also discover our podcast. You can also support the show by going to patreon.com/liberators and get a whole slew of nice benefits in return, like all the do-it-yourself workshops that I mentioned in the episode. Having said all that, I want to thank you for listening, and I hope to see you again for our next episode. Take care, bye-bye!